The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Next on News Talk, one in seven homes are behind on their electricity bills. It comes after a cold, wet winter, price hikes and the withdrawal of energy credits. Well, joining me more for more on this is lecturer on energy at University College Cork, Dr. Paul Dean. So, Paul, give us a sense of what you think has led to this.
I think, first of all, this is a very tragic story. We often talk about these things, electricity bills, and we think they're about the cost of electricity or the price of energy. But in fact, it's much broader than that. This is really about, I suppose, the cost of living crisis. The people in, and in many ways, I suppose, there, it's a terrible barometer of how excessive and deep the cost of energy crisis is. Now, people in energy poverty are people who are not able to pay their bills, just don't really have the privilege or the possibility of planning for the future. And what this does is that it really impacts their ability to save money and put money aside. And the electricity bill, unfortunately, only comes in maybe once every 2 months, and it tends to get pushed to the side. So I suppose first and foremost there, it's really, I suppose, a sentiment of the difficult cost of living crisis that we're going through at the moment.
Okay, and when it comes to the issue of the withdrawal of energy credits, we remember it was a huge issue around budget time and in the lead up to it, because we were well warned by the government that the era of energy credits were gone. How much of an impact do you think that's had?
It really had a huge impact. You know, the energy credits, I suppose, were a lifeline for many people who are struggling to pay their energy bills. And to be honest, Claire, I think, you know, when we look into the future, there's no kind of clear and easy way out of this. When we look forward at electricity prices, when we look at gas prices, it's very difficult to see a kind of any respite in sight. So I think from a government perspective, I think there does need to be a good re-examination of a return to targeted energy credits. Now, in the past, what we did, Claire, we tended to go for universal credits. Now, universal credits were, I suppose, in many ways, they were very pragmatic. They were very politically popular. But what they do is they dilute the help for those who need it most. So I think really a return to targeted credits, making sure that the money is given to those who need it most. And in many ways, Claire, I think that means working in collaboration with the energy companies, with the energy regulator, to identify and help those people.
Yeah, and there's a lot of them. I mean, 319,000 over that amount, 319,459 electricity customers owe money on their bills at the end of 2025. It's an extraordinary figure. And people will remember back when energy credits were first introduced, and when we asked why they were universal, we were told there wasn't the time to target them. Well, we've had that time now. So really, there's no excuse not to get that help to the people who need it most.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Claire, it's not just about the numbers. It's also the type of people who are impacted here. There's an incredible unfairness, I suppose, attached to this as well. The people who tend to be in energy credits. Now, this wasn't reported by the CRU yesterday, but we know from analysis done from the CSO and SEAI and others that it tends to have a much bigger outsized impact on certain cohorts of the population, particularly the elderly people, particularly young people who are renting. But particularly single moms, people who don't have a higher level of education. So it has that really, you know, I suppose, cruel element as well, that it impacts those who are most vulnerable and who are much exposed. And again, that kind of wraps around, I suppose, the cost of living crisis that we're having at the moment. Another difficulty as well, Claire, I suppose, what we're seeing is that, look, I've spoken to you about this many times. There are good options out there if you're able to switch. There's electricity for sale at the moment for somewhere between 1,300 and 1,400 euros a year. There's also electricity available for almost 2,000 euros a year. So if you have that kind of computer literacy, if you're kind of smart with that kind of stuff, you might be able to switch and take a bit of pressure off yourself. But again, for a lot of people in our society, in our community, who might have access, I suppose, to those kind of technical skills, they aren't able to take advantage of that. And again, that would tend to be in elderly groups, in travelling families and others. For example, Claire, I was giving a talk just about 2 weeks ago, actually, to a group of retired workers, and I just asked how many of them have switched their electricity supplier in the last number of years. And very few of them had. Most of them were the same supplier for the last number of years. And we spoke about the reasons why, and they had just a real, I suppose, fear of changing supplier. They often would kind of compare it to the you know, the bad experiences, I suppose, that maybe have happened in the past, which when you change your internet supplier, or maybe change your phone supplier, where people have to come in and put new wires into your house. It's different for electricity. When you change your electricity supplier, you just have to go online, you fill out some forms, and you press a button, and the rest then is left to suppliers. There's no one is going to come to your house to change the wires. Nobody needs to come into your property. Electricity will continue. There's not going to be a break in coverage. And I think from a CRU perspective, who are their energy regulator here, we need to do a little bit better on just getting that type of information out there, because there is a lot of fear to switching. And it's not going to solve the problem, Claire, but what it might do is just take a little bit of pressure off some people out there and help relieve the cost a little bit.
But when it comes to people who are in arrears, Paul, they can't switch in the main. That's my understanding. Is that right?
You can to a degree. It depends how much you are in arrears for Claire. So I think if you go over, I think the value at the moment is over €225. If you owe more than that, what the energy regulator do, they kind of raise a flag next to your account. And when you try and switch, then the energy the supplier who's taking you on will be given that information, and they can choose whether to accept you or not. Mm-hmm. So this poses big problems for people in rented accommodation, for example. You know, if you're renting and you the previous tenant hasn't paid their bills, now I understand that there are accommodations made for that. If you're a new tenant coming into a property and where the property has a previous tenant who hasn't paid their bills, you will be allowed to switch. So you can switch to a degree, but if you have excessive debt, you mightn't be allowed to go on to a new supplier. And again, I think there, when you look at this kind of, you know, from a very cold and analytical way, the only way out of this is really to have a real good look at targeted energy credits and put the money into the account of the person who's in arrears. Because otherwise, the debt stays out there. And there's a lot, there's another risk as well, I suppose, Claire, happening at the moment, where a lot of the debt now is being accumulated by suppliers. And they will just socialise that debt across all other their other customers.
So prices will continue to go up, in other words?
They will. They will. Because if the debt isn't going anywhere, someone has to service that debt, and it'll just be spread across all other bills. Uh-huh. So that will continue to put upward pressure on the wider bills as a whole.
So I see as well that the other thing that has happened, we've had the removal of the €250 energy credit at the same time as the prices have continued to rise by between 10 and 15%. So it's a perfect storm, really.
It is, yes. So two things going in the wrong direction at a terrible time. I suppose the other thing that was interesting in the CRU figures that came out yesterday, Claire, was not only residential customers, but what we call non-domestic customers, businesses, are also significantly now in arrear. So there's a kind of contagion effect here where the energy, but it's not just limited now to residential homes, it's spreading into businesses. And that has a big impact on the, not only in the cost of living, but that feeds into a risk of failure for those businesses. Feeds into the ability for those businesses to succeed. So it is time, I think, to step in here. I think there was a real missed opportunity by the government in the last budget to deliver targeted energy measures. I estimated it would have cost about €150 million. In the past, we delivered over €2 billion worth of universal credits, where we tried to help everyone. And again, we diluted the help for those who needed it most. €150 million in the grand scheme of things, it sounds an awful lot of money. Mm-hmm. But for the release and the value that it would give those people who are really struggling with their energy bills for a problem that's not going to go away, I think it's a measure that does need to be seriously looked at.
So that's your message to the Minister for Finance, Simon Harris, when he's looking at the books coming up to the October budget, that you need to account for €150 million or thereabouts to sort this out, to give targeted credits to those who need it.
Exactly. And again, just to remind everyone that this isn't just about electricity. This has been amplified by a cost of living crisis. Yes, electricity prices in Ireland are very high, but it's amplified again by the fact that the electricity bill just comes in every so often, and that other things tend to take priority. So we shouldn't just look at this as an energy measure. This is really a social measure. It's about fairness. It's about justice. And it's about giving people back a bit of dignity to their lives. Because when you're under that level of debt and level of pressure, the stress and anxiety that it causes around everything can be very detrimental.
Dr. Paul Dean from University College Cork, thank you for joining us. Now,
the Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. conversation that counts.